If I can change one person's perspective on their situation, then maybe losing my foot was all worth it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taiches Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. If you want more information on our firm, just check out our website, taichesfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with Courtney Godfrey. Courtney is a young, vibrant, up-and-coming TV reporter for Fox 9 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. On September 15, 2017, her life changed abruptly and drastically. While enjoying an evening with family and friends on a Minnesota lake, she was involved in a freak boating accident, which led her to losing her lower left leg. Just like that, she was now an amputee. In this podcast, we hear what happened as she walks us through those moments following the accident, including the point where she realized that she was going to lose a limb. We talk about her journey, her attitude, her faith, and how her purpose and perspective on life was before the accident and now as a young woman who is adjusting to life as an amputee. Here's my chat with Courtney Godfrey.
We were out. I had wakeboarded, was trying to perfect my jumps. You know, I'm trying to get into jumping. And I had just pulled him on the skis, and my sister and my brother-in-law were in town from California. It was their first time ever to Minnesota.
Nice.
So we had to show them, you know, what we're all about in Minnesota. We had to take them out on the boat. And that visit that was supposed to be fun and enjoyable just turned into everybody's worst nightmare in a split second. We were heading in to the house. We were gonna cook out. We were gonna do a fish fry. On our way into the house, we made a quick turn, and I was, you know, truthfully, in hindsight, was not holding on well enough. You know, yeah. I was sitting down holding the windshield in one hand, and we've done this a million times. We turn all the time, and we're on the boat all the time. And how many times have you been in a boat and made a turn?
Right.
It's just a freak accident, and I flew off the boat, and I felt a hard impact, and I thought, oh my God, I hit the bottom of the lake and broke my foot. You know, in hindsight, stupid. Of course, I didn't hit the bottom of the lake. The lake's too deep for that.
Yeah.
But it was such a blunt force that I thought, okay, my foot's broken, and I tumbled around in the water a bit, and you know, it felt like a half hour, but it was really seconds. And when I came to it, I was under the boat, and I knew, okay, I could hear the boat was off. Yeah. You know, my husband turned the engine off as soon as I fell off.
Did you fall at the back or the side?
The side.
But you were moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I found myself under the boat, and I just knew, okay, I got to tread down because I know the propeller's under the boat. I got to tread down. And so I tread down and forward, and I came up, I surfaced, and everybody on the boat was standing up looking for me. And I just said, my foot, my foot. And I held up my foot thinking I was going to see a sideways foot.
Yeah.
And I saw what I don't wish on anyone. You know, my foot was hanging on by skin. And it's hard to talk about now, but I think it's good to talk about. You know, it's good to get it out there to tell my story because it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you right now. Just telling you the story, it raises emotions in me that are hard to deal with. But you know, the more I tell my story, the easier it gets. And you know, my husband and my sister's a nurse. They pulled me up onto the boat. My sister tourniqueted my leg right away using the ski rope. And
it's good she was there. My goodness.
I mean, just a true blessing because I did not receive an ounce of blood in the hospital thanks to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, I remember I was in the ER in the stabilization room and I was in good spirits, yeah. you know, because I knew I was in the ER. So I knew I was going to live. And I just kept telling the nurses, please save my foot, save my foot. I love shoes. I have to wear shoes again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like when I tell people that, they're kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, you had just lost your foot and you're talking about shoes. It's like, but, you know, that was my way of kind of making the situation a little easier yeah. to deal with.
Was
right?
this like that day? I mean, this did you ever... you know, like in transport, did you lose consciousness or anything? Are you conscious the
no,
whole time?
Okay. I was conscious the whole time.
Okay.
You know, and my husband never left my side.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he was in the front seat of the ambulance, you know, encouraging me
yeah.
the whole way to the hospital. The only time that he had to leave me is when I went into the OR. And, you know, he's been by my side ever since. It's pretty amazing.
Did you know that you were going to lose your foot right away, or did that come like later or later that day?
No,
or the
you
next
know, it's
day?
Funny, and I think a lot of people you talk to who have lost a limb in a traumatic accident, you kind of have this thought of like, well, doctors do amazing things, so they can sew it all back together. And you know, it wasn't until I was in the stabilization room and the ER resident came to my side, and they were all, everyone around me was super positive. Honey, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to do everything we can. And a resident came to my side and said, look, Courtney, we're not going to be able to save your foot. And that was the first time that my heart just truly sank
yeah.
because someone came and told me the truth. You know, the truth of the matter is, what I didn't know is my heel was missing. The propeller cut off my heel. So if you don't have a heel, they can't, you know, you can't just live with the front of your foot.
Right.
So
yeah.
at that point, they have to take it up to mid-shin. Now, I could have stayed an amputee at the ankle, but because I have an active lifestyle, you know, if you want to wear high heels and snowboard and do all that stuff, you know, below the knee amputation is really best
wow.
opportunity for you to live a full life.
Is that a conversation you had to have with them and come up with that decision? I mean, that's just crazy to me to have that type of conversation with professionals.
Yeah.
You know, be like, where are you gonna amputate my leg? I mean, that's crazy that you had that.
You know, the first night, my sister, again, the nurse said, we don't do anything. You know, just close it up. We don't give you permission to do anything, because she knew that we needed to talk about this as a family.
Yeah.
And she knew that what I was going through was already so traumatic that, you know, to take more of my leg was going to be something that I really needed to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the very next day, you know, the orthopedic surgeon came in and said, look, this is why we want to take more of your leg.
Mm.
And it was something I questioned it, and I said, no, why? No, I've got a healthy leg all the way down to my ankle. Why would you take more of my leg?
Hmm.
And, you know, they explained to me, look, we understand, talking to your family, that, you know, you're active, you know, you like to wear high heels and work out. And if you want to do all that, you know, we need to give you a functioning ankle joint.
Hmm.
And so, you know, technology is amazing, but I can't, you know, in order to be able to do everything I did before, they had to take more leg. And after getting a couple people's opinions, I said, okay, let's do it. That was hard, but
yeah.
You know.
Did they do that surgery? Like how long after the actual accident did they do the operation to just take the rest off?
So the accident happened Friday evening, and I was in surgery bright and early on Sunday. In fact, the orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Andy Schmidt at HCM, is the amazing guy, very talented surgeon. He was on his way to the United Kingdom, and he had a flight. He was speaking at a conference, and I said, but I want you to do the surgery. And he said, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I could do it tomorrow morning, but it's going to have to be early. The guy did the surgery and then got on an international flight right after. I mean, what a guy. What a guy.
Those guys, they're amazing that they can do stuff like that. That would be, to me, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And they did that like after their morning coffee before they, you know, read the paper
totally.
That day. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and he, you know, and they, unfortunately, they do a lot of these, you
yeah.
know, whether it's in a motorcycle accident or a propeller, you know, they're you know, unfortunately, they do a lot of these. So
what was it like? You had the surgery. You wake up out of surgery. You look down, and what do you see? What do you experience at that point?
You know, it's like mentally you've prepared yourself, but I don't think anything can prepare you for looking down and not seeing a foot.
No.
You know, you're all bandaged up, so you can't see the actual wound, but you don't see your toes sticking up. You know, when you lay in a bed and your feet are flexed, you don't see your foot sticking up under the sheets, and it's,
It seems like you took an attitude of positivity. I followed your story. I follow you on Twitter the whole bit, so I got a chance to kind of follow your emotional journey, what you were throwing out there online. It feels like you always took this route of positivity. Where did that come from? How did you methodically think about that and say, did you make that decision in your mind, or that was just the next natural step for you?
No, you know, I don't think that there was ever a moment where I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe there was a conscious moment where I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I think really, truthfully, that's just who I am. That's just who I am. And so it was never really a question of, am I going to sink into this deep, dark place, or am I going to be positive? It was like, there was no option for me. It was only positivity. It was always positivity. Hmm. And I just didn't see another option.
Yeah. How long were you in the hospital before you got out and kind of got back at home and started experimenting?
I was in the hospital for a week.
Okay.
And you know, going home was a whole challenge in itself.
Yeah.
But I'm so lucky. I have amazing family, amazing friends, amazing husband. And, you know, we had, for 2.5 months, we had a friend or a family member there 24 hours. So I had people flying in from Kentucky, Ohio, California, Chicago to come be with me and just help my husband out, because, you know, he's amazing, but it was a, you know, being a caregiver is tough. Mm-hmm. And when you have someone who's so fresh out of a traumatic injury and really can't get off the couch, it was nice to have that help. So we're lucky, you know, we're lucky we have family and friends. And I just, you know, not everybody has that. And I think I credit my positivity in part to the fact that I had support, and I continue to have support.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about purpose. I mean, that's what we talk about every week. But first, what does that word purpose mean to you?
Oh, man. You know, I think the moment I came out of the water and realized that I was alive, my life perspective completely changed. Mm. Purpose had a completely different meaning, you know, September 14th, 2017.
Yeah.
You know, before the accident, everything was about me and my career. I came first. You know, I loved my family. I loved my husband, but, you know, it was about me. It was about my career. And now my husband and my family come first. You know, life is too short to spend worrying about climbing the ladder, getting ahead. And, you know, all of that is great, and I'm still into that.
Yeah.
But if that is your entire focus, you're missing out on a lot of great opportunities, opportunities to connect with other people and to enjoy, you know, all the beautiful gifts that God has put on this earth here for us. So, you know, purpose to me at this point in my life, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm still trying to figure that out. Mm. But I can tell you that my purpose today is so much different from the purpose that I had before the accident.
You mentioned that it was about you, and I totally relate to that, by the way. And just so people know, just some, you know, full disclosure here, you and I chatted a couple of weeks ago before we recorded this for about an hour, and it was just interesting to talk about the TV business and everything. And there's something about television, like it kind of draws you in. It kind of sucks you in a little bit. You know, your life is cut up into like 2 and 3 year contracts, and it's kind of always about the next thing. Could you connect with that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, look, working in TV, it's like a drug, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, it's so addictive.
Yeah.
And
that's a great way to put it. I never thought of that. That's great. Yeah.
You know, I love it. You know, I love what I do, and I will continue to do what I do, you know, for the foreseeable future. You know, I plan on going back to work, but I think that before it was like, okay, what, how, you know, what market can I get to? Can I, you know, I want to get to the number one market, and that's my end goal. You know, you climb this ladder, you work hard, you sacrifice relationships, you sacrifice, you know, social, family, yep. You sacrifice a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that I'm in a place now where it's like, I love my job, but I'm not, I don't think that, you know, my job should be my entire life.
Hmm.
And, you know, I need to start thinking about what else is important
yeah.
in my life, and how else can I impact people? You know, how else can I show up for people? You know, showing up on the 10 o'clock news every night is great. Hmm. And I think that, you know, we do have an important job, you know, of informing the public, but I also think there's something bigger out there for me outside of work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want work to be my whole life anymore.
Yeah. I can connect with that idea of go, go, go. You mentioned on the phone when we were kind of prepping for this, that this has, well, it's forced you to slow down. I mean, clearly, I mean, you,
yeah.
it, like, it's,
yeah.
it has literally physically forced you to have to slow down, because I think TV in general is a go, go, go type of mentality.
Yeah.
And part of my story is, when I was in the Twin Cities for 4.5 years, that 4.5 years flew off the clock faster than any other 4.5 year period of my life. And that is not
That's
a joke.
True.
And it was just because it was nonstop. As soon as the big event was over, State Fair or, you know, pick one, it was right away looking at the next one, and there was never a break. Talk about that idea of slowing down and your new purpose.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big part of, you know, when I talk about, you know, work isn't everything. If my bosses are listening, I'm coming back. Don't worry. But, you know, prior to this,
yeah.
And it probably will go back to this when, you know, when I'm back to work. I expect it to. But,
sure.
You know, every day I could not fit everything that I needed to in a single day. You know, if I could add a few hours onto a day, I would, because it was always running around. You know, you're eating your dinner over your computer, while making phone calls, while writing your script. Well, you know, it's a lifestyle where you're right. You go to work at a certain time, but it's not clocking in and clocking out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working the entire time before I go to work, while also trying to, you know, make sure my dog's taken care of, make sure my husband's taken care of, make sure, you know, I get my workout in. So it's just, there was never enough time in the day.
Yeah.
And now I'm like doing puzzles and reading books, and it's like,
yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
You know, and in the beginning it was really hard.
Hmm.
I sat at home and it was really hard because I was so used to this go, go, go. And, you know, now I'm learning to enjoy the slow pace of my day.
Hmm.
But, you know, I'm also looking forward to getting my life back.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. And I think what you're searching for is reapplying that purpose again. It's to get out
yeah.
and dig your teeth into something that you can really commit to again, would you say?
Yeah, I think it'll also help me, you know, going through something like this. I have a lot of emotional trauma, and I think sitting at home all day, you know, doing puzzles, reading books, I think that going back to work will, you know, I hate to say distract,
yeah.
but it will. It'll distract me from all the thoughts that
sure.
I have.
Do you ever go there in your mind? Do you play the what if game?
Oh God, you know, it's so hard not to.
Yeah,
anybody who goes through trauma will tell you can't go there. You can't play that game because it just doesn't help.
Yeah.
And you know it doesn't help, and you know you shouldn't go there. But, you know, when you're sitting there at home and or you're laying in bed at night and,
yeah.
you know, your leg is bugging you, you know, you can't help but go back there.
It's
and
beautiful.
So, yeah, you know, I find myself back in the water thinking about, God, what if, you know, I would have held on tighter?
Mm.
You know, what if, you know, and worse than that, I think about what if it was more than my foot?
Yeah.
You know, what if I hit my head? What if, you know, all these things, you know, what if I wouldn't have come out of the water alive?
Yeah.
So you hate to go there, and you know it's not productive, so I try not to, but, you know, you just sometimes You can't help it.
I've interviewed a lot of people on the show that have had, you know, injuries and catastrophic things happen and tragedies, deaths of children on the show. And I just have to ask this question, and I'm going to ask you the same one. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth at all, but in a way, you mentioned how your heart has changed. You felt like your purpose has changed. I look at life differently. I look at relationships differently. In some sort of kind of crazy, morbid, indirect way, are you kind of like happy this happened? Can you go there in your mind and say this has been a positive thing?
No. Okay. I mean, it's a positive. What is resulting from what happened is positive.
Okay.
But if I could turn back time, I would have laid on the floorboard of that boat if I had to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, absolutely not. I'd take my leg back in a second. I would be back at work right now. But what is coming from this, you know, personally, and, you know, the things that I get to do in the community now, you know, that it's awesome, you know, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have an impact on other people and to undergo personal growth. But, you know, that's tough. It's like you ask somebody who loses a loved one, you know, would you take it back if you could? Yeah,
absolutely.
I would do anything I could to save that person. You know, it's the same for me.
Yeah, I
wish I had my leg back, you know?
I think it's really cool because you're taking a very intentional route on this thing. You could, again, play the what if game. You could ask why all day long. You mentioned your purpose, you know, is really undefined at this point, but you'll find it. But it's all about just taking this thing and saying it is what it is, and I'm going to take it as far as I can in the most positive route I can. It sounds like that's what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I say to people, I say this all the time, if I can change one person's perspective on their situation, you know, maybe it's not losing a limb or battling cancer. Maybe it's you're having, you know, troubles in your marriage, something like that. You know, if I can change someone's perspective on their situation, then maybe losing my foot was all worth it.
Interesting. When we talked a couple of weeks ago, this came up. We started talking about faith a little bit. There was a statement that people would come in and tell you at the hospital, and you said it was just it kind of bothered me. Remember us talking about that?
Yeah, you know, there are two things that people would say, and I don't fault them because, you know, it's so hard when you really don't know what to say.
What do you say to the situation?
I mean, it's the hardest situation to be in. So people would say, it's all part of God's plan, or everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Which is kind of the go-to because you don't really know
what to say. Yeah. And so I don't fault the people who have said this to me.
Yeah.
And there is some truth in, you know, it's all part of God's plan. It's just I hate that saying. It's all part of God's plan because the God that I know and love, the God that I follow, is not evil enough, is not mean enough to say, you know what, on September 15th, I'm going to cut off Courtney's foot because it's all part of my plan. No, I don't think that he's that mean.
No.
I think that, and this is interesting, I actually had a Muslim friend of mine, I told him that this bothered me, and he said, you know what, Courtney, I think that God saw something in you that maybe you didn't even see, and he needs to use you for something bigger.
Yeah, that is really
good.
So
he's essentially saying the same thing, right? It's all part of God's plan. But the way that he said it, I was like, yes, okay, I'm into that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even pray to the same God, you know?
Yeah.
But we both pray to someone upstairs.
Yep.
And, you know, we both have spirituality. And so it was so meaningful to me that he said that because it really resonates with me, you know, that I do have a purpose here. And I think that, you know, God sees something in me and he needs to use me.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Courtney Godfrey. What a story she has. I loved how she told that story. She said when she came out of the water, instantly the purpose and perspective on her life changed forever. She very vulnerably admitted, she said that her life, for the most part, really was all about her. She said, I love my job, but since the accident, I need to start thinking about how I can show up, connect with other people, and impact people as well. And we can do that very simply by being kind to one another. I think that's a great word no matter where we are in life. Courtney, thank you so much for sharing your story on Repurposed. And I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Repurposed. Also, I want to remind you that this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, TejasFinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program each and every week. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit MyFaithRadio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.